is Access All Areas on FUBAR Radio with Bobby Norris.
Hey, good evening, guys. It is Access All Areas and we are live on FUBAR Radio. I'm Bobby Norris.
And I'm Ellen Collin.
And guys, we have got a jam-packed show this evening. We are joined by Danny Warren from Below Deck and the wonderful Safia talking all about her foundation for Azealia. And I'm so excited for this show. Like, it's going to be a good one. It's going to be a mosh, but yes, it's going to be a good one.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes they're the best shows, Elle.
Exactly. I think we have it all on today's show.
We're ticking all the boxes.
We really are.
Now, as our hardcore Access fans will know, we always start the top of the show with a little bit of showbiz news. And this week, of course, is no different. And we are joined by the lovely Hayley Palmer. She's going to give us a little roundup of what's going down in showbiz town.
Oh, we love a bit of showbiz news, don't we?
Where do
we start? Well, I think we've got to start with Boyzone.
Yes.
I am a massive fan of Boyzone. Mm-hmm. Sorry.
Who's your favourite?
Ronan.
It has to be Ronan.
How can you say anyone else?
Yeah. And he gets fitter every day.
Doesn't he, just?
It's weird.
And I literally remember saving up all my money and going into Our Price and buying their albums.
R.I.P. When it was 99p for a single. Showing me age.
I thought you guys were Gen Z. I can't relate.
And literally, do you remember when they were on Smash Hits Paul Winners Party?
I'm far too young for that. Never heard of Smash Hits.
Anyway, love a bit of Boyzone. And they have a 3-part documentary that is out and it came out on Sunday on Sky. And I have heard that it's not just all the fluffy bits. It's a lot of dark bits. They've really gone in there. Interviews with each member of the band and, of course, Louis Walsh.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently it is, you know, pretty gritty. So it is something that I want to watch.
Yeah.
And it has got really good reviews.
It's on my to-do list as well. But apparently Louis Walsh doesn't come off well in it. I've seen one small clip where he basically admits to selling fake stories about the band to get them more press. And he'd forget to tell the band about the fake stories or the families. And one of the stories was that they were all in a plane crash and it was plastered all over every tabloid and he forgot to tell the boys' families before he done it. And he just laughs in the VT. He's like, and I forgot to mention it to the families. So they were pretty upset with me and then asked, would you do it all again though? And he goes, oh my God, yeah.
Naughty Louis Walsh.
Naughty.
Oh, that's one word for it. I kind of think like, I'd like to think in 2025 we see things different, but the nature of the industry is that we're all in it.
Mm-hmm.
We know there is the kind of, especially when it comes to management and stuff, but I kind of think when you're lying for things, there's one thing PRing your client and getting them press. But plane crashes, allegedly, I just think it takes a fucking dark turn. Do you know what I mean? Like, and I'm just big on putting things out there. I wouldn't want to attract that back in. So maybe I'm just too young and too nuanced now. I just wouldn't put that karma out there.
I think through the 2025 lens as well, it just looks way worse. But it's funny because he looks so confident explaining that he did that and the fact that he said that he would still do it the same. I know you can't teach an old dog new tricks and he's kind of an old school, you know, guy.
Cool, yeah.
But even in the 2025 lens, he doesn't see what's wrong with that. I find that so strange.
I think
strange.
He showed his true colours on Big Brother, didn't he? You saw exactly what he was about.
Mm-hmm.
That's not nice at all. And also one of the members is not there as well.
Mm. Yeah.
So is it Mikey?
Stephen. So I remember this
Stephen, but sorry, one of the ones didn't turn up to the premiere.
Oh.
Yeah.
But he did do clip. He's in the footage, though, isn't he? He didn't turn up to the red carpet.
Oh.
But I remember the Stephen Gay thing very well, especially growing up as knee-high to a grasshopper.
Mm.
Clutching at straws for it to be someone gay to relate to. And I think it was literally like 2 or 3 years, because Ireland was a little bit more behind in terms of changing the law in being gay.
Yeah.
And I think Stephen came out, or did he come out? I think what I'm seeing on social, allegedly, I don't think it was his choice. I think someone sold the story on him. I don't know who. But it was a front page article. But this was like 2 or 3 years after Ireland had changed the law. So that was hardcore. Knowing what goes on in 2025 with homophobia and being a gay man in the public eye, I can only imagine as a minuscule amount of being in one of the the boy bands of like globally of the world, yeah. what that would have been like.
And that was the '90s, right? I'm pretty sure in the
I think 2000 the article was sold.
Like it was still really bad at that time because wasn't it Ellen DeGeneres in the '90s? She lost her show, Ellen, when she came out as gay, and something else happened. What's his name? The other musician. Oh my god, I'm so bad at names. The other gay musician. He's dead now.
George Michael.
George Michael. Yeah. Wasn't that in the 90s as well when that came out? And all the bathroom stuff. So, like, it was really bad in the papers at that time. It was seen as, like, a dirty little secret if you were gay. So coming out as gay at that time would have been very, very brave.
And sadly, 25 years down the line, it ain't much better. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. But I know there was... And I really want to watch this documentary because, I loved the band. Mm. But also, it's nice, especially because this is the industry I work, it's nice to kind of see, I don't know if nice is a really bad word to use for it, but it's nice to, in a way, see what they went through in terms of lifting the veil.
And I quite like it when they do, because it's a bit like the Robbie Williams documentary.
Yeah.
Mm. It's kind of not all just like, oh yeah, it's shavers, it's great. And people do think it's great, don't they? But actually to show what it's like under pressure with the press and everything.
Yeah.
You know, I know there's a lot more awareness of mental health now, but back in those days, there was hardly anything. We didn't even know that word, did we?
No, I think it's all slut drops and fajazzles, but behind the scenes, not so much. But, I hope Stephen's family as well, because I say that was, I think, 2020, so it weren't long after he died. So we're talking at least 20 years ago he died. So for his family, it must be a hard watch.
Definitely.
But definitely. Nice. What's that on, Hayley? How do you tune
in
to that?
It's a 3-part series. You can watch that. And big shout out to David Samuel, who put that together.
My agent.
Yeah.
Yeah. Shout out to David. What else, Miss Hayley?
I want to talk about the Eurovision Song Contest because it was announced today that we have a UK entry.
It's me.
I knew it. It was only a matter of time.
Hello. It's me.
Do you know what? I think that's a great shot, actually.
Yeah. So Adele's good. Busy. So they said, let's get the Essex Adele.
Right.
And, I'm a bit cheaper.
The next best thing.
Yeah.
Only a little bit.
So, UK entry revealed as country girl band and ex The Voice stars called Remember Monday. Do we remember them?
No, and I feel fucking robbed. I thought that was my gig.
What the hell? I don't know who they are.
Yeah, apparently they were on The Voice. It's a girl group trio who consists of Lauren, Holly and Charlotte. And I have no idea who they are, but we wish them well.
Good luck.
Because is this our year to win?
Unlikely.
I mean, it's a strange year. We've only just stuck our toe into February, so anything could happen. But
can you guys remember Samantha Mumba at all?
Yes.
Your love for me.
You're joking.
Like
I literally put her on my TikTok a few weeks ago. I started doing a little sing song to her. I forgot all about Sammy Mumba.
A tune. I think she's going to be the entry for Ireland.
Oh, is
you've won it.
Well, I think if she is the entry, because this is just a rumour at the moment, but if she's the entry, I think we have it.
Oh, my God.
That would be a good one.
I forgot all about it. So weird that you brought her up. I did a TikTok about 2 weeks ago because it was, don't want to take that one.
You're
it wouldn't be right if I didn't tell you this tonight.
We've lost all our viewers.
No, we ain't. They're now sacking off them three birds and they're like, Bobby's doing it. Sorry, what are they called? Forget
they are
Monday.
Called Remember Monday.
Remember Monday.
For me personally, you can't beat Sam Ryder and you can't beat Buck Fizz, otherwise known as the Fizz with the skeleton. Yes.
Sam Ryder was amazing.
Amen.
Yeah.
Just putting it out there. Also want to talk The Apprentice. I know you've got a special guest coming from that. Yeah. I actually interviewed someone from The Apprentice yesterday. She's called Nadia, and she's one of the main characters on there. She's like super bossy on there. In real life, she's really nice. But she told me that apparently they only get 20 minutes to get ready in the morning.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I just can't get my head around that because I can just about have my Weetabix in that time.
I know. Yeah. It's crazy. And I actually thought they were lying, but we had an apprentice person in here last year and I did grill them. And I was like, listen, tell us the truth. Like, how long do you have? And he said, yep, 20 minutes. That's it.
Yeah.
Like, apparently they're being mic'd up and stuff for about an hour. So they are awake longer, but they actually only have 20 minutes already.
Woo. Literally, it's up, shit shaving and haircut, yeah, and you're out.
Yeah. Well, anyway, there's 18 contestants. Well, actually, 17 now. It's on Thursday nights at 9 o'clock, or maybe it's 8 o'clock now, I think, on BBC. And actually, I didn't want to get into it because I thought, oh, maybe I'm over The Apprentice because I used to watch it. Mm. But actually, I think this is quite a good series. Mm. And the contestants are hilarious. They are comedy, yeah, gold.
Yeah.
But I always love that. And whenever, because we have them in every year, don't we? Mm. And I think it's series 19, so we're talking like 20 years of The Apprentice. But I love, obviously, you've always going to get your standout business people, like, not that Trump, well, Trump did the American version, obviously, but he weren't a contestant, but you kind of get your standout business people. But I kind of like the people sprinkled in that are never going to be like the world's the biggest, like, they're not going to be Elon Musk, you know what I mean? He ain't, yeah, shitting himself. Mm-hmm. But you need them kind of characters to carry on because it's a long old run. Mm-hmm. So I don't want everyone to be hugely business. I want, yeah, a little bit of razzmatazz.
Yes, I love the
call me camp. It's never been said, but you can say it.
I just feel like I go in that boardroom and just be like, Alan Sugar, I'm really sorry, I have messed up. I'm just going to go and have a cup of tea and two digestives because I'm not even going to fight. Yeah. I know I'd be rubbish on there. Yeah. I know I'd over-deliver by like 2,000 more.
Yeah.
You know, I just think they're so funny the way they try and fight, and it's just yeah, no, don't do it.
Just put your balls on the table or your tits on the table and go, look, I fucked up.
But yeah, lovely outfit I'd wear.
Obviously, it would look stunning.
Oh, the outfit would, yeah, be on point with like the suitcase, yeah, getting into the taxi.
Yeah. I'd actually love to know, maybe we'll ask them when they're on, but do they get a wardrobe allowance? Because they're all...
No, they don't. No, I asked her that yesterday.
Really? Nothing.
BBC, no, isn't it? It can't be giving so out money willy-nilly.
That's true, that's my money. I've paid, yeah, for that.
We paid for that. There's people ain't happy about that.
Yeah. She told me they're not allowed to wear certain colours or brands, obviously, but no, she had her own, she told me.
They all look so good.
Yeah, they do.
Should try and get on to Alan, just thinking out loud.
Yeah, spitballing.
Let's get Alan in. He's an Essex boy.
Do you?
Yeah, but there's something about him.
I like older and rich.
You just like rich.
She
don't discriminate.
Guys.
As long as the mini statement's got a few zeros at the end, she couldn't give a toss. I think time for one more, Miss Hayley.
Can I quickly talk Love Island? Because yes, are you watching it?
Of course you can.
Yes. Yeah, I'm on
blue. Sorry, did you see Ekansu, mm-hmm, Curtis, no, in the heart rate challenge?
Yeah, it was a bit wild.
Bobby, have you seen it? Have you, yeah, seen when Ekansu did a backward roll?
Yes.
Yeah, it was. I mean,
life complete.
It was hard to watch. I watched it through my fingers. Like, I was trying to not look, but it's almost like a car crash. You can't take your eyes, mm-hmm, off. Like, it wasn't sexy. To me, it was chaos. But I thought it was quite funny as well because the girls were just rolling around laughing.
Because, yeah, there's a lot of memes from this series, which you kind of always get with, like, your all-star one. But I see a lot of people, yeah, have been tearing Curtis a new arsehole, yeah, like, after the old Jason dance.
Jason.
Jason,
yeah. Considering he's a trained dancer, I was like, he's never living this town.
Well, I saw him in Panto. He was in my hometown at Christmas.
He?
And my mum was like, oh, I like him, but I like his brother more.
She likes AJ.
She likes a bit of AJ, yeah. Yeah.
But she's dead right.
I think it's hard, isn't it, when you're being scrutinised on there. But I'm all for Casey. He came on my show and he's lovely. I really
do you know
like
what?
Him.
He's saving this series in a way. Like him
he's
and
got a great sense of humour.
It's great. And the best bits, some of the clips of him coming out of the best bits are just like iconic.
Yeah.
They're so funny. Mm.
Casey's
his sense
in.
Of humour.
And Gabby, because
really
Gabby's on Fever.
Yeah, Miss Gabby.
Indeed. She might bring him in with her next time. Who knows?
Oh,
we might get him on the show.
We could get Casey in, yeah. Yeah, he goes, yeah, to my gym.
That's it. We'll get him on access.
Get him on access.
We start the fitness show. We'll have it because now, I'll be like, now you've got showbiz out on. You're on access.
Yeah.
We should speak to producer about that. We should get her first interview.
Yes. Yeah.
Contractual
like
rights.
Exclusive.
Definitely. This is like a team meeting, I feel like.
Yeah.
So we're like lining up.
They have no choice.
It's the food bar way. We bring our exclusives to the food bar table.
I love it. A lot's going on. But yeah, I can't wait to tune into that because I'm obsessed with
Any predictions, honey?
Yeah.
Who do you think's got... She's like, yeah. The word ain't left my knees. And she's like, yes, Bob. Who's winning then, girl?
My showbiz predictions are always right. No one listens to me, but I'm always right on it. Put money on it. It's going to be Casey and Gabby to win. 100%.
Do you reckon?
100%.
Wow, okay.
What's the strength?
Because yeah. Casey's never had a girlfriend and he's been on there three times and he's been unlucky and he's actually coming across really well. Mark my words, put a tenner on it.
Right, oh. Maybe. Okay.
Bet sensibly, guys.
Yes.
Babe, always an absolute pleasure to see
you.
Yeah,
so
we love
much.
You, Hayley.
So fun.
Guys, we're going to take a little break and then we're going to be joined by Danny Warren from Below Deck. So we will see you in two. Cheers, Hayley.
Access All Areas continues next. Boo Bar Radio.
That Money Show with Gabriel Nussbaum on FUBAR Radio.
I am joined now by Ricardo Mighty. He is the CEO of Mighty Labs.
I just think if you're going to get into crypto, you just can't think short term. If you're trying to, I don't know, like pay your bills next month and you think I'm going to invest in crypto this month and then I'm going to take the gains out and do something with, you just can't think like that because 99.9% of the time, the market doesn't work the way you want it to work. It works how it's going to work. The longer you have your investment in crypto, most likely the better it will do.
You're listening to FUBAR Radio.
Download our app now to listen to your favourite shows, such as Access All Areas, Politics Uncensored, and The Dating Show. You can also download and catch up on previous episodes of all FUBAR shows, including our box sets. Plus, you can get in touch directly from within the app.
Just search for FUBAR Radio on the Apple and Google App Stores.
Yeah. The FUBAR Radio app. Get it today.
Get it today.
It was calm on the beach, so I took my little girl out on the water. Then we hit the wind, and it blew us out to sea, faster than we could paddle back. And we learned our lesson from these guys, the crew who got us home. Thank you.
Respect the water and watch out for the winds. In an emergency, call 999 and ask for the Coast Guard.
Registering to vote means you can take part in the way decisions are made in the UK. When you register to vote, you are then able to cast your vote at local and national elections. You can help choose who runs your area and makes decisions about things you care about. Millions of people in the UK aren't registered to vote and they miss out on having their voice heard. It's quick and easy to register. It only takes 5 minutes. You can do it online or you can ask for a paper form at your local council. Register to vote now at gov.uk/register to vote.
What the hell with Gabby Allen.
Mr. Later Williams, hello. Mate, can we just address that you did Strictly Come Dancing?
I know, people were quite upset about that, to be fair. But listen, not the first musical theatre performer to be on Strictly. Won't be the last. I've never watched a full season from the start to the end. So when it actually got to it, I was like, whoa, like there's so many different styles. I was like, oh. And Nikita, I love him, but he was really pushing me to be the best that I could be.
Politics Uncensored.
They can't turn off your water because water is a human right. It's not like internet, which we can talk about.
Are you saying we
things.
Should all stop paying?
I'm not saying we should all stop paying. I think no one should have to pay.
Their argument would be prices are going up. We need all this money because we have to invest in our aging Victoria infrastructure, which hasn't, there's been no new infrastructure built in sewage, whatever, since the Victorian era. How would you respond to that?
They're talking out of their backside. It's bullshit of the highest order.
Grab your backstage passes and prepare to access all areas.
Welcome to Access All Areas. We are live on FUBAR Radio and we are joined by Below Decks, Danny Warren. Danny, how are you, darling?
I'm so good. How are you?
Really good, thank you. Thank you for coming on Access All Areas. It's a pleasure.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
So, Danny, this was, were you like number one? Were you actually watching this series of Below Deck? Did you follow an episode? I know you lived it, but did you watch it back?
Yes, yeah, I lived it and then I did have to watch it back. Yeah.
What was it like watching it back?
A little bit traumatic, not going to lie. It was a bit traumatic, but yeah.
Do you regret any parts of it at all?
I think obviously, like, yes, I do. But at the same time, I would like to use it to like reflect and like see things. So I think everything's a learning curve, you know, so don't really regret everything. But
so there there was one line in the show that you said that caused an absolute stir online. And you probably know what I'm talking about, but it's the one where you and Daisy, your chief stew, were having a few arguments throughout the series. And you said in your VT that you think that maybe she's just worried you're going to come for her job. But she has like over 10 years experience and you were a junior stew. So people online were like, what the hell do you think you could do differently to make things better? Do you regret saying that, or where did that come from?
I think it was definitely taken out of context. Like, I wasn't referring to that job, like her chief stew job. So I think it was just like, yeah, there's so many hours of like the green screens and the interviews and stuff. And I think obviously they just pick certain things and plaster it. And then obviously people have an opinion and they, I don't really get a chance to like explain myself when like I'm not in control of the edit. So I don't think, I wasn't referring to the chief stew job.
Talking about the behind the scenes from someone like in the UK, I did a TV show for 10 years. So kind of a reality show. So I know like how it works, like the logistics and how much kind of gets edited and manipulated for the final show, because A, it has to, because a show would just be for 6 weeks long. But how does it feel watching it back, knowing what you lived and what you experienced? Do you think you got a good edit, or do you think they done you a little bit dirty?
100% did me a little bit dirty, but again, like, it's for TV and I get it. Like, it's Hollywood, you know, but I think it was not truly reflective of everything that happened. And I don't think I'm the only person that's walked away from this particular season feeling that way.
And how about when you look at other castmates that have done the show? Because again, when we do these shows, we know what we film. We don't always know what everyone films individually. We can always judge it. And I think a lot of people think that we get like a behind the scenes exclusive episode, like a screening. I never used to know until it went out live. When that episode dropped, I watched it when the public watched it, as I'm sure you're the same. How does it feel like knowing these people? Do you think anyone was either playing a game, or did producers look after and protect certain people in terms of their edit? Did anyone get a hero edit?
I think both are very, like, I could feel it when I was there. Like, there were certain people that, like, it was hard to connect with, and I knew that it was, like, a front and they were playing the game. And then definitely a couple of people got massive hero edits, but I'm glad for them.
Yeah.
I'm jealous, but, like, yeah, you know what I mean? Like, good for you.
Who was that?
Yeah.
Who got the hero edit?
Too many to name. I think a couple of them. But, yeah, I don't want to be, like, specific and be like, this person, this
No,
person,
just say one. A couple of them.
Do you think Daisy got a hero?
Obviously.
Daisy,
yeah,
right?
Daisy,
yeah.
Yeah, she did come off pretty well.
Yeah,
she did come off pretty well in it. Is there anything that you feel looking back now that you would have done differently if you had the season over?
Oh, played the game better. Like, I know it's like, it's unfortunate, but it is just a game to everybody there. I think I went in with like very raw, like, hi everybody, like, let's all be friends intentions, and I think a lot of people played a certain game because they knew what they were doing. So I think that's the only thing I would have done. I just would have known what to say, what not to say, in terms of like, also when they like put you in green screens and they kind of force you into a corner, like, I would have known not to give them what they wanted.
It's hard to know though, is it, until you're in it, you don't really know. But I always have guys from the whole franchise of Below Deck come on to Access All Areas. And thankfully, a lot of people spill the tea because it's Access All Areas, and that's exactly what I do.
We love it.
And I've been told about cast members sleeping with producers and cameramen on the boat and stuff. What kind of stuff don't we see? What goes down when them cameras are de-rigged? Have you seen anyone being a naughty girl or a naughty boy?
I think after the season, I saw a couple things. Now I was like, we stayed in the villa for a few days after filming. And I was like, where was this? Like, the whole time we were filming, where was this? But like, in terms of camera and production crew and stuff, like, I think my season was relatively boring. So no, there wasn't anything.
So who hooked up in the villa, Dan? Who hooked up in the villa?
Everyone.
A gangbang.
That's reality TV for you.
Like, even the crew? Even the crew, like the production crew?
No, there was no production crew there. So, yeah, it was just cast.
Wow.
Yeah, there was one production crew that was trying to film it because they might put it on TV, but then it didn't make the cut. But she would just come in and out. But, yeah, none of the crew that I know of. Yeah, production crew.
So you had quite a PG series, because some of the things we've heard.
Yeah.
It all goes down.
Really,
forget below deck, on deck, over the deck.
All of the deck.
Ride the deck.
So at the very first few episodes, we see you hooking up with Gary. Do you regret that at all? Because the minute you guys hooked up, it was like he just washed his hands of you.
Again, I don't regret anything, but I think, yeah, that was a bit of a silly, goofy, dumb girl decision to do. Like, I was just having fun, yeah. You know? So yeah. I think that's just where, like, hindsight's 2020. Yeah, I probably shouldn't have done that. But, like, in the moment, it was what it was fun. And then, yeah.
We've all been there, haven't we?
We all have regrets. Chase, you ended up hooking up with Chase as well. And you guys looked pretty much in love, like, towards the end of the series. And did you meet up afterwards? I think I heard that you went on Chase's boat with him for a year.
Oh.
Yeah, pretty much. After the villa, we stayed in the villa for 4 days. And then he asked me to come over. I was like, oh, I'll come. And then I booked a one-way ticket to America. And then, yeah, we were together. Oh, God, like August 2023 to July 2024-ish, yeah.
And what happened there?
Oh, God, what didn't happen?
Go on.
Yeah, it was just, I think for two people to try and, like, build a relationship in such, like, a high, like, pressure environment, especially, like, meeting on the show, that was a nightmare. And then the year afterwards, like, it obviously had to all be a secret. So, like, I was a secretive girlfriend and we were rebuilding his boat and stuff. And it was just all, like, a lot, and I think it just went so toxic.
Why?
Like, both of us. Why? We both tried. But
why
were
you a secret girlfriend?
Because of the show. Because we met on the show, and he's been on the show before. We weren't allowed to, like, be seen with each other, or, like, because he's a YouTuber, he wasn't allowed to post me because it was a spoiler.
So
it has to all be on the DL and secret squirrel.
So, and then to live with a YouTuber who, like, puts his life on the world, it's like, oh, it's like a part that I'm.
Yeah.
Like, you're not included. And, like, living with that is really tough.
And that brings its own problems in itself. TV show aside, but if that's his career, when you bring the socials in, talking about socials, how have you found that? Because, again, someone that knows how social media can be with people on TV, there can be... The majority of people are lovely, and I'm never here to bash social media, but there is a dark side, let's have it right, and there's some people that live under a bridge, and they're a little bit cray-cray. Mm. How do you find social, and what's the worst thing you've ever had?
Oh, every day it's bad. I'm not going to lie. Every day I think I get the messages from either, like, oh, you're the best thing ever, or, like, oh, you should kill yourself, and I'm like, this is a bit extreme, but I think, yeah, like you said, like, it's just people that are living in a dark, dark place, and, like, I don't know, I guess just the frame of, like, oh, like, you take this that seriously that you, like, thought to pull out your phone and send me a message is a bit, like, sad. And I think my favorite is, like, when people try to give me life lessons, but then in the message they're, like, calling me a slut or, like, calling me all these words. And I'm like, babes, like, who are you, like, you're not preaching, like, what you're not, like, performing what you preach. Yeah. Like, what are you saying? So I think you have to just take it all with a grain of salt. But, yeah. There are really, really good humans there that are, like, super supportive. But again, like, trolls will be trolls.
Yeah.
Mm. And it's like, this is 2025. Like, we don't have haters. We just have people that, like, hate on their life and then project it onto you.
Yeah.
100%.
And I'm a big believer that hurt people. Because I think if you're really happy in life, I mean, I would never, there's people on TV, I can't stand, you know what I mean? But I wouldn't pick my phone up and go, you know what, shall I follow them and abuse them? I just wouldn't give them the steam off my piss. They're not on my radar, do you know what I mean? Like, to follow them and abuse them.
It's
like,
a weird...
I have a job, I have hobbies, I have things to do. I don't ever have to, like, pick up the phone and tell her how much of, like, a nasty person she is. Like, when also, like, now being through it, like, people aren't in control of what happened, and there's so much that you don't see, like, being on the other side of it. Now I watch reality TV and I'm like, oh, shame, like, she probably went through something, or, like, oh, shame. Like, you can see the bigger picture now.
And what about the DMs? Because, again, from someone in your industry, we know what go down in the DMs. Have you had the dick pics? What's the dick say? Because, I mean, we all get the dick pics.
I've gotten a couple, but they honestly just go straight to the, like, to the delete, like, folder. The most that I get is just, like, foot photo requests.
What?
Yesterday I got told that I had, like, Cinderella feet that belonged in slippers, and I was like, go out, man. Like, if you're going to send me $300, I'll probably send you a picture.
You get a lot of money on OnlyFans having a foot account. A lot of people, a lot of guys requires love a girl's foot. I've heard that.
I know. I there's some wiki feet pages now. Like, yeah. I don't know. Yeah. I think this might be a, like an extra side hustle for you. I think go for it.
But the thing is that dick pics, they're never good dicks. Do you know what? And we're not dick shaming anyone, but it's never lovely. You know, as lovely as a dick can be.
That's it. I think we know straight men are just not great at photos.
The angle's terrible.
It's awful.
There's a terrible filter on it, or the lighting's not good.
Yeah.
It's just like, no, babes.
No, that's not the one.
Put your Calvins back on.
Exactly.
And have a trim.
But I actually saw a video of Daisy actually defending you, saying, can everyone stop abusing her online? Do you know, I know the show is difficult to watch because people were going, oh, Team Danny, Team Daisy or whatever. But it was like, she was like, there's no need for all this hate. Have you actually spoke to Daisy afterwards? Have you guys made up?
No, I haven't spoken at all. Like, I've spoken to everybody but Daisy, honestly.
Why have you guys not spoken? Because you don't
Personally, I don't really have like an interest. You know what I mean? I know that sounds so awful, but it's just like I don't really want to rehash. I mean, like we're both two very stubborn people, and we both had our own experiences, and like both have the right to feel the way that we do. And there's no point in like rehashing it because I don't think that we're both going to be like, I'm sorry, because we both think that we're right. You know?
Yeah. She called you a billboard for Gen Z. What did you feel about that when you watched it back?
It's so true. Like, like, you can't be angry at that. Like,
no.
Own it. Yeah. We wish we were.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah, for millennials.
Yeah. She's a millennial. I'm a Gen Z. Don't listen to her. She's a hater.
Going back to your relationship with Chase, you said it turned quite toxic towards the end. What actually went down there? And don't be afraid to skip any information.
I don't even have words for what happened. Like, I think, after we like built the boat and we were trying to sail through the Caribbean, and neither of us have any like experience and stuff sailing, and then all of that, we would just fight all the time, like all the time over money. Also, we didn't have any money. So it was really brutal, like trying to sail, like we couldn't like afford to eat. I was like struggling with health issues and stuff. So we were just, he was a man focused on work and I was just like in bed dying, and it's just like we couldn't find like a perfect like mixture. And then eventually I went to go overseas to go and like earn some money and like get a bit of identity back, because obviously I was living with like a reality TV star that had a YouTube channel, and like I didn't really have anything. Like, my life was a secret. I didn't have my own money. Like, I gave it all to the boat. I was just kind of like there. And then I went overseas, started working, and then I thought like the distance would like make us get better. And then like it was, I mean, in my eyes it was, like we were finally a bit better. And then one day, just out of the blue, after I sent him nudes in the morning, I got a phone call and I'm done with you, been faking it, blah blah blah, and done.
What?
So. Oh, that's a kick in the tits, isn't it?
Did you say after you sent him nudes, he broke up with you?
Yeah. What? That morning and then later that night. Yeah.
Holy shit.
Brutal.
That is brutal. Holy hell.
But I want to ask, like, going back to your time on the show, and as we was talking about, like, obviously being produced and stuff, was there ever moments that producers would pull you guys aside and kind of try and make you fit a certain narrative or push a storyline on you? Was it made clear to you what they wanted from you?
I think so. Like, it's the prime example of like the love triangle between me, Dee, and Chase. Like, I remember like being in the moment and like doing everything and being with them, and then when you're pulled away to the hotel room, and then they ask you these questions, and they're like, "Oh, so like this triangle?" And I'm like, "What triangle? Like, what do you mean? Like, in real life, that like wasn't a thing."
Nah.
But then it was. It's just like there's implications and stuff, and it's kind of like you don't get to leave the room until you're told. Like, until you say what they really want from you.
Wow.
And that's where I think, like, that whole thing, in real life, that love triangle didn't exist. And, like, it's just so funny that, like, you feel it and you're like, oh, and then, like, as a newbie and I don't know how to navigate it, I'm like, yeah, okay, la, 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 like, just saying everything that, like, they expect you to say. So, yeah, there's some moments that you feel a bit pressured and put, like, pushed into a corner. And, yeah, unfortunately, I had no idea.
It must be quite tiring as well, because you guys are working like a full day on a boat and then you have to go do VTs afterwards, and you must be exhausted.
Yeah, like everyone always laughs, like in the real yachting industry, they're like, oh, like Parsifal looks so easy. I'm like, it's honestly one of the hardest boats I've ever worked on, just because like the hours are insane. Like the amount of people are insane. Like what the guests do and are insane. And then you're pulled away and you go and you have to sit in this room for hours, and then you're dragged to go and like drink. And then it's just like a lot. Yeah.
How did the reality, because I'm guessing obviously reality TV is no longer the new kid on the block. We've all seen reality TV now, but it's not until there's one thing set on your sofa or your couch watching a show, it's a very different story being in the show. What was the difference for you from someone that had watched it growing up and was a fan, I'm guessing, of the genre of reality TV, to then filming it? Was it a completely different game? Like when you was in it, did you think, shit, I weren't expecting this?
Yeah, I think it was just like the, I don't know, just expecting other people to be like as excited about it or like be as involved, and like just the insane like amount of behind the scenes, and like how you just, I think also it wasn't even during filming and stuff, it's more like now, like seeing it, the experience, and then the you know what I mean, like it's hard to,
yeah,
because like I didn't really watch the show as much, and like to be honest, the only reality TV I ever watched was like Keeping Up with the Kardashians and like good old Geordie Shore, but even then I was like a teenager.
Yeah.
And then now it's like, yeah, like now seeing it, I'm like, oh, things are like planted sometimes and things aren't, and some things are like super like over dramatized. And now I'm like, oh, that's genius. Like I can be like, oh, that's genius. But now I'm like, oh, but like the little girl that was like there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, that sucks. You know, like, okay, thanks. Like it's just, I think it's just the shock of how they like use and portray people for like views and stuff. And then obviously the people that get the hero edits feed on that. And like, just, it's like sad. Do you know what I mean? I just think it's quite like, oh, okay. Like we can't all just get on and like realize that this is just for entertainment. Like people just think it's real.
Yeah. Thank you so much for joining us. It's been an absolute pleasure to have you on Access All Areas. Come back anytime.
Yes.
Well, thank you.
Thank you so much, darling. Best of luck with everything.
Bye.
Take care. Bye. Right, guys, we're going to take a little break and then we're going to be joined by Miss Safia. So we'll see you in two.
Access All Areas continues next. FUBAR Radio.
That Money Show with Gabriel Nussbaum on FUBAR Radio.
I am joined now by Ricardo Mighty. He is the CEO of Mighty Labs.
I just think if you're going to get into crypto, you just can't think short term. If you're trying to, I don't know, like pay your bills next month and you think I'm going to invest in crypto this month and then I'm going to take the gains out and do something with, you just can't think like that, because 99.9% of the time, the market doesn't work the way you want it to work. It works how it's going to work. The longer you have your investment in crypto, most likely the better it will do.
You're listening to FUBAR Radio.
Download our app now to listen to your favourite shows, such as Access All Areas, Politics Uncensored, and The Dating Show. You can also download and catch up on previous episodes of all FUBAR shows, including our box sets. Plus, you can get in touch directly from within the app.
Just search for FUBAR Radio on the Apple and Google App Stores.
The FUBAR Radio app. Get it today.
Get it today.
Is the sound of your mates alive? Is getting to more gigs this year and the next? Is the sound of saying, I got you, mate? Is the sound of mates enjoying even more of this? Is the sound of mates getting home instead of here? Click your seatbelt, because you're twice as likely to be killed or seriously injured if you don't think.
When you notice something wrong, it tends to grow and eventually take over, to the point you can't really think of anything else. If something in your body doesn't feel right, the thought it could be cancer can play on your mind. Tests could put your mind at rest. Finding out sooner is always better. Your NHS wants to see you. Contact your GP practice.
What the hell with Gabby Allen.
Mr. Later Williams, hello. Mate, can we just address that you did Strictly Come Dancing?
I know, people were quite upset about that, to be fair. But listen, not the first musical theatre performer to be on Strictly. It won't be the last. I've never watched a full season from the start to the end. So when it actually got 2 hours out, whoa, like there's so many different styles. I was like, oh, and Nikita, I love him, but he was really pushing me to be the best that I could be.
Politics Uncensored.
They can't turn off your water because water is a human right. It's not like internet, which we can talk about.
Are you saying we
things.
Should all stop paying?
I'm not saying we should all stop paying. I think no one should have to pay.
Their argument would be prices are going up. We need all this money because we have to invest in our ageing Victoria infrastructure, which hasn't, there's been no new infrastructure built in sewage, whatever, since the Victorian era. How would you respond to that?
They're talking out of their backside. It's bullshit of the highest order.
Grab your backstage passes and prepare to access all areas.
Welcome back to Access All Areas. I'm Bobby Norris and we are joined by Miss Safia. How do you, Saf?
Hey, babe.
It's so nice to see your face. How are you, darling?
Yeah, I'm very well, thank you. And your face. I haven't seen you for a little minute.
I know, it's been a hot minute. How you been keeping, girl? Busy?
Yeah, I've been doing well, thank you.
What have you been doing? I mean, obviously, I know you've got a lot going on now. I want to go into, because you've got the foundation and everything now. But obviously, it feels weird saying this. We're just sticking our toe into February. But New Year, Christmas, how was all of that for you? I'm guessing a rough time of year.
Yeah, New Year and Christmas is always a really difficult time for me. At Christmas time, I get really overwhelmed. I find it really difficult as sometimes for Christmas, people are in a really high spirit. And then there's people like myself that are going through a journey of feeling a lot of sadness. So it hasn't been good. But what I do try and do is do as much as I can for the children in the hospitals. I joined up with The Sun and we did a really beautiful campaign where there was children drew pictures and then we turned it into wrapping paper.
I love that.
Yeah, it was so nice. And we raised funds to get presents for them. We've donated to the PhD. So it's been absolutely like wonderful to be able to turn again pain into purpose.
Is that where you find your strength then? In the times that have become really hard, do you just channel that energy into something positive?
Yeah, I always find that the lead up to it can always end up feeling very weighty, like on your shoulders, in every fibre of your body. Sometimes the build-up to something can end up impacting you so much more than the actual day itself. Mm-hmm. And then it's the recovery after. So not only have you built yourself up for this day where you end up feeling so much sadness, is that afterwards you're then recovering. It's one hell of a journey.
Sorry to ask, Seth, but just for anyone that might be tuning to the show that might not know your story, and I hate to have to pass the mic to you, but I kind of want you to have the floor, so to speak. Would you mind just spending a minute or so talking about what you've been through in your situation and your story, please, darling?
Yeah, absolutely. So I had my little beautiful girl, Azalea Diamond Kane. And when she was born, everything was completely fine. And then at 8 weeks old, we got rushed straight into hospital where she was diagnosed with a rare type of leukemia. And we went on a journey, a very, very difficult, painful journey where our daughter sadly lost her life to childhood cancer. And now what we do is we've got one of the biggest charities in the UK, you know, that really do support all these children and families going through childhood cancer, because childhood cancer is the biggest killer of children in the UK and it receives less than 3% of funding. Now, Azalea is my hero. She's my joy. She's my light. She's my pride. She's my reason why I'm still here. And through losing my daughter, she's really shown me so much strength to be able to continue and shine light here on earth.
And I think it's so amazing what you do with your foundation. And again, I don't have children, and I can't imagine, I wouldn't want to imagine for a single second. But what I'd say is, I didn't know much about leukemia. Like, my mum was diagnosed a few years back, and I think, and not taking away, it shouldn't be a competition of cancers, do you know what I mean? But I think we hear so much of other, and I don't want to say certain cancers, because it feels like I'm saying that they get more spotlight and headlines. But I think leukemia, well, my mum was diagnosed, I'd heard of it, but I knew nothing about it. And people don't really talk about leukemia. And when you go down that rabbit hole, and I teamed up with Anthony Nolan, and the stuff that goes into it, and I think it's a cancer that gets so overlooked. And I love, and I mean, obviously, I hate that you've gone through what you've gone through, of course. But I think the more spotlight we can put on blood cancers and cancers like that, I think it's incredible, because we all know to check ourselves, or we'd like to think we know to check ourselves. But blood cancer, you can't sit in a bath and check your blood. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Do you know what, Bobby? It's really interesting that you say that, because I always say, don't wait to be in a position like myself before you want to help and make change in this world to make it a beautiful place. And unfortunately, so many of us end up having to go through our own journeys to end up getting that knowledge. Because is it the fact that that information is not available, or is it the fact that we don't pay attention? There's two kinds of things.
Maybe.
We like to, you know, kind of not think about these things because it makes you feel overwhelmed, doesn't it? Or it's like very scary to talk about, very uncomfortable to talk about. Nobody wants to hear that childhood cancer is the biggest killer of children. Nobody wants to hear cancer. Nobody wants to hear anybody passing away. It's a really difficult conversation. But I think, you know, like Azalea's journey and Azalea's story and how she lit up like the whole world, you know, Niagara Falls turned orange for her. Like, it's incredible. Like, it really is. It's just such a painful journey that as parents and people and families, you know, that are going through it, even like yourself, like your mom, you have to really feel that pain to really have value to want to make that change. Mm-hmm. And I'm just glad that my daughter has really gave me that purpose to continue to shine her light, because the way she lit up everybody's faces and made them smile and how the nation fell in love with her is something that I really treasure and honour.
And her legacy is incredible. Like I say, social media, and I love that literally everyone knows her name. If you don't mind me asking, because I was saying about certain cancers that we're all conditioned that people go, oh, check your breast, check your testicle, like if you feel changes with bloods, we can't really do that. How did you, especially when it's a child, again, as I say, I'm not a dad, how do you know when a child isn't well? For anyone that's listening, and I'm a big believer, if we can help one person in anything we do, whether we're campaigning for something or if someone listens to an interview in the background on their phone while they're cleaning out the wardrobe or making a spaghetti bolognese, how did you find out she wasn't well? Was there any signs for you as a mum?
Yeah, well, looking back now, it's very obvious, because I'm now an oncology mum and I've kind of feel like I've got a degree in it from living and breathing and in the hospital for so long. But my initial signs were cold type symptoms, swelling. Her tummy was swollen. But for me, it was when I actually changed to nappy, because my background is dental nursing and aesthetics. I actually found a lump, and when I put a bruise, and then when I put my finger over the bruise, there was a lump underneath the bruise. And that was an indication for me that something was wrong.
Wow. I never even heard of that symptom before.
Yeah, bruises, cold type symptoms, all those kind of things. Yeah, and I just feel like when parents and people can like go get your bloods taken. Like, honestly, like you can find out. So I get my bloods taken, and even giving blood as well, Bobby, you know, like it's the biggest thing, you know, health is the biggest gift we can have in life. And if you can go out and you're healthy enough to give blood, blood is literally like gold on them wards for these children and for all these families out there. You need to give blood. It's a massive thing that I definitely recommend, and to get on the donor register as well.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know, and I'm so glad. I think they've recently, and I think very recently, changed the law. And again, not a political thing, but gay men wasn't allowed to give blood. It was just a taboo.
Wow.
I think that's just been changed, which I think is amazing because... Yeah. And I always used to think to myself, God, you could be the most homophobic person sat in a hospital ward, but I bet if you turned around it was life or death, and you went, you can have a gay man's blood, they would take that pint of blood. And you would want them to have it, because I'm not going to reject it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But so I'm glad that's now been lifted. I think I'm correct saying that. But it must be an absolute... not a silver lining, but there must be a grain of taking something positive, knowing that you've saved hundreds, potentially thousands of children's lives from your story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, do you know what it is for me? I always, like, Azalea is like the top. She's like the top tier. In one weekend, Azalea got over 80,000 people on the register for Anthony Nolan. She is the highest person that has ever got people on the bone marrow register. And I'm like so proud. That's over 80,000 people now that have got a potential life-saving donor. And I even had this girl, I was in Selfridges in Manchester, and this girl came up to me. She was on the Skims counter. She was working, and she came over. She was about 23, maybe 22 even. And she was like, hi, I just want to say I got a call from Anthony Nolan because I'm now going to be a donor for somebody. And I only did it because of Azalea.
Oh, wow.
Hearing stories like that really makes such... I was so proud. I was like, you know, as my daughter's up there in heaven, I'm still such a proud mom here on earth. It's so beautiful.
As she should be. And it's literally a spit in a tube situation. And I think a lot of people, when it comes to kind of like, I think you can just go onto the Anthony Nolan website and it's literally like you spit in a test tube. Like
It's just a little swab. It's like a cotton bud.
It's not a painful thing. But even when it comes to being a donor, I think when people talk about donor, we think about our own fatality. Like being a bone marrow donor or stem cells, it's done as a blood test, isn't it, babe? Like it's can you tell anyone listening that it's not a scary thing? You don't have to be deceased to be a donor.
Yeah. To be on the actual register, it's just a swab in the inside of your cheek. You put it back into a test tube and you send it off. Then you're on the register. It's literally as simple as that. And if you do get chosen to be a match, what that means then is they call you in and you sit on this machine and they just literally give you an insert in your arm and you're just removing your blood.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? To give to somebody else. It's so quick and so easy. Mm-hmm. And like, we're healthy and we're good. So we're recovering fast. Just get yourself some chocolate afterwards and some fizzy pop and some sugar. And that then is a bag of gold that will help somebody else's life.
Wow. Absolutely.
No, it's so rewarding. And I just think that going on that journey, do you know, as you were just saying before over Christmas and coming to this point now, I just want to say to so many people, like I, Azalea passed away in 2021. I am now like such a proud mom, you know, from the moment I gave birth to her, still till this day for how much of an impact we're making. We're now, you know, we've got PhDs, we've got 7 PhDs that we've committed to already, and that's because of Azalea. And now, you know, recovering from Christmas this year, now in January, I'm at this point where I'm like, I'm ready to find happiness again. Mm. It's took me like 4 years in April, it will be, since Azalea's passed, to find myself as a woman. And that comes into so many different areas where I lost all my confidence. I've had to rebuild myself from the ashes. Not only did I lose my daughter, I lost my relationship, my home, like absolutely everything. And now rebuilding, I'm literally coming out and I'm ready to claim it all back this year and be happy.
I love that. Babes, I've literally got a minute left before I have to wrap up the show, and I'm going to get my fairy godmother wand out. What's Mr. Right? If I could produce you a salt, what is he like on paper? Sound like we're on Love Island.
Okay, on paper, my type has to have a good soul, good purpose, and calm energy. I'm in my energy era where you've just got to come in and make me happy. I don't need you for anything. I want to find happiness, and I need him to be kind. Yeah. An absolute 10-10.
Any physical traits that you like? Do you like a big boy?
I like a big boy, Bobby.
Cold sheet, lad.
Who doesn't?
Girl after me, oh not. Babe, if I weren't, I would. I'll take you out. I'll take you Fernando's anyway. Or we'll go Miller and Carter. But I'm on the other bus, and I. But maybe we'll both go and find Mr. Right together. Get a couple of twins.
We can do that.
Babe, thank you so much for joining us. Before I let you go, though, can you let people know listening, where can they go to the foundation? How can they help? How can they donate? Where do we all go?
Yeah, if you guys could go to the azaleafoundation.com, you can donate over there, but you can see what we're about and check us out on Instagram at the Azalea Foundation as well. And we're over on TikTok too.
And if there's any salts out there, foundation aside, where can they slide into your DMs?
Miss Sophia Varaji.
You heard
it here first. Babes, I want an invite to the wedding. Saf, love you. Bye, darling. Bye.
Bye.
El Nice Show.
So good.
So nice. Always lovely to see you, girl.
Yeah, you too, my love. You're looking handsome as ever.
Thank you, but I'm like Rapunzel now. Right, guys, thank you for tuning in. Always an absolute pleasure to be with you. And we'll be back next Wednesday, 6 p.m. Foo Bar Radio, Access All Areas. Bye. Bye.